we today? Good. It's good to see all of you. It's good to see the sunshine, isn't it? I tell you, as Pastor Ryan was talking about miracles, man, God is doing miracles. Amen. And I'm a miracle this morning, and you're a miracle this morning because of the saving power of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, man, worship was just good. There is nothing like God's presence. You know, I do have to just, it's kind of funny, the last couple Sundays I've noticed this, but for Mother's Day, we celebrated 2 weeks ago, for Mother's Day, got an Apple Watch. That's about the reaction. You're thinking, why in the world did you get an Apple Watch for Mother's Day? Well, let me tell you why I got an Apple Watch for Mother's Day, because my wife wanted an Apple Watch, and I went down there to get her an Apple Watch for Mother's Day, and they said, oh, if you buy one now, you get one for half off. Oh, I didn't still want to spend $170 or whatever it was, because I'm not a mom, I'm not a female, and I really don't need an Apple Watch. And they said, you know, believe it or not, you have $160 credit on your account. So my Apple Watch cost me like $15. So I was like, sweet. So anyways, happy Mother's Day to me. But it's interesting because one of the things is that it keeps your steps and all that. If you have a smart watch or whatever, it's pretty cool because it tells you how active or not active you are. And one of the things that this one does is it checks your heart rate, which I find it very interesting. And every Sunday morning, my heart rate is still in the normal range before service, but literally during worship, my heart rate goes down to 58 beats a minute, which is like, so I find it interesting that in God's presence, right, everything that you think about, at least for me the last couple weeks, is, hey, in God's presence, things change, amen, including our heart and maybe your heart rate. So maybe I need to figure out why I'm getting all worked up before service, but that's a different story for a different day. But it's so good to be in God's presence. There's no place that I'd rather be. Before I get going, I just want to pray. I want to pray for our nation. I want to pray for our president. I heard this morning that our nation in Virginia, another 12 people were killed in a shooting. I want to pray for peace this morning. I want to pray. The Bible instructs us, regardless of what side of the political spectrum you're on, we're called to pray for our leaders. And so I pray, and I try to pray for those that I agree with, but I also try to pray for those that I disagree with, and I try to pray because I believe that's what we're called to do. And so I want to pray for our nation. Today we're going to be talking about peace, and our nation and the people of America and the Church of America need some real peace from heaven. And so I want to pray. So would you just join with me as we pray for our nation, as we pray? I don't know any details of what happened in Virginia, but I just want to pray for peace today. So Jesus, we come to you, the author of peace, the author of our salvation. Father, I thank you for our nation. God, I thank you that you are the Lord of our nation. Father, I thank you that there is millions and millions of people that call you their Savior in our nation. And God, I declare, God, that you do have great things in store for our nation. You have great things in store for your church. And this morning, God, we lift up those in our nation. God, first of all, we lift up those in Virginia and all the details around this shooting. Father, we just ask that Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, would be present. Father, that you would comfort those, that you would heal those. Father, that you would just, in the midst of a chaotic situation, would you bring your presence? Father, we know that in your presence, everything can change. And so, God, we just ask that you would minister to those in Virginia this morning. And God, we do lift up our nation to you. Father, our leaders to you. Father, we lift up all the elected officials that have been elected by the people to carry out the laws and to lead this nation. And God, we just bless them today. Father, we bless the leaders. We bless the local leaders of our city. We bless the national leaders, the state leaders. Father, we bless our president. Father, we ask, God, that all of our leaders, we know that you put them in positions. And Father, we ask that whether they know you or not, that they would get wisdom from you. Father, that you would even use the ones who are righteous to judge rightly, Father, but you would even use the ones who have wickedness in their life, Father, that you would change their hearts. And so we just lift up our president, we lift up our national leaders to you, and Father, we just ask that in the coming season, even this year, that there would be a great awakening that comes to our nation. Father, I pray for the church and the church leaders of our nation, that we would rise up, Father, and that we would see true revival, not just sweep America on Sunday mornings, but Father, that we would see a revival that would change the landscape and the trajectory of our nation. And so, God, we just know, Father, that you sit on your throne, Father, and we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're talking the last few weeks about a fit soul. Getting healthy from the inside. And God's heart for us is health. Amen? God's heart for your soul is that you would be healthy in your soul. And it's been fun to preach on this. Before I go any further, I do want to acknowledge, I just saw one of our missionaries from Honduras. They just, you know, Miss Sharon Washburn's here. Just, there she is. Would you stand so we can say hi to you? It's good to see you. I just walked over, and there she was. We love you. It's good to see you this morning. So we've been talking, as I said, about being fit. And the title of my message today is Peace for Your Soul. And as I was preparing for this week, it's always funny how God kind of works it. But I've been kind of absent from social media lately just because I'm busy with other stuff. And when I'm not busy with other stuff, I should be busy with other stuff and not busy, you know, working my thumb on my phone. And so, but this week I did hop on, and it does these memories thing. And I had this memory pop up in my Facebook account this week. And it was about 10 years ago when our oldest son, Daniel, was probably 2.5 or 3 years old, and he had long, curly blonde hair. Looked like a little daughter of ours that we've never had, but that's a different story. And then our other son Josh is a baby, so probably about 10 years ago. And we are out to dinner as a family with another dear family of ours at the fine establishment of Dairy Queen in Maple Valley, right? I treat my wife well. And this video pops up, and literally it is for 2 minutes long of these two toddlers. Daniel and Eowyn is her name, Eowyn Hardebeck. And I think it was Eowyn's fault, personally. I think Daniel just followed her. But for 2.5, and her parents aren't upstairs this morning to defend her, so we'll just blame it on Eowyn. But for 2.5 minutes, they were in an absolute yelling, screaming match, not at each other, not at anything, but just to, like, make noise. And there's this video of in the restaurant them going, ah, 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 ah. And anyways, it goes on and on and on for 2 minutes. And the caption was another peaceful dinner out with the family. And so this morning I'm trying to, and this week, trying to prepare a message on peace, and that video shows up. And isn't that the picture of what finding peace in reality can sometimes look like, feel like, and sound like? Here we want to be people who walk in peace, and it seems like there's just screaming and chaos and absolute just nonsense going on around us. And in the midst of that, we're called to be people who walk in peace. And if you have young children, you're probably in that season with us where it's like, okay, what a sick joke is this supposed to be? Thinking about peace, you know, peace isn't just something that you're going to have when you someday are with Jesus. right? Peace is possible in the day and in the age that we live in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of sports, in the midst of life's ups and downs. God's plan for his people is to be people of peace. And I hope that you can comprehend that this morning. I hope that you can just believe me this morning, because I know sometimes it doesn't seem like it's possible because of the season. But I know God wants us to be a church that walks in peace, and that we can be people who fill the community that we live in with the peace of God. And so we're going to talk about peace for our soul today. And I want to start out reading out of Colossians chapter 3. Starting with verse 12, a little bit of scripture, and really I'm really going to focus on two of the scriptures, but I just love this verse so much that I just wanted to read it, because I think it's good for all of us. But it says this, and he's writing to the Colossian church, and it says, "You are always and dearly loved by God." Okay, this morning I want you to know that you are dearly loved by God. "So because of that, robe yourself with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy." Right, you've been chosen this morning to be holy, to be set apart. "Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others." I tell you, understanding others, sometimes like we need like some supernatural dose from heaven, don't we? Just to understand and try to figure out what people are thinking. "So God, give us patience, right? Give us mercy, right, as we endeavor to understand others." It says, "Be compassionate, showing kindness towards all, be gentle and be humble, be unoffendable in your patience with others." Lord, help me. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be unoffendable in our patience with others. "Tolerate the weaknesses of those." Lord, help me and help those that know me. "Forgiving one another in the same way that you've been graciously forgiven." God, help me to be a person of forgiveness. "If you find fault with someone, or a lot of fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them." Lord, help me. Verse 14, "For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity." Lord, I want to be a person of love. God, I want to be a person of maturity. So make me a person of love. We'll go on in verse 15. This is really what I wanted to get to. "Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One." Come on, I want our hearts to be guided by peace today. "Who called us to peace as part of one body. And always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with psalms, with praises, and with prophetic songs given to you by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts." Amen. So Jesus, today in these next few moments, we thank you for your presence that's here. God, we ask that you would fill us with peace. We ask that you would fill us with peace that comes from heaven. Father, you know every situation, you know every heart, you know every heartache. Father, would we have an encounter today with the God of peace? In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, the things we shared this morning, everything, you look around, you listen to the news, you look at your neighbors, you look at your kids, you look at everything that goes on in our society, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that we need to be filled with peace. Amen? Because every opportunity, every corner you turn, there is a chance for you to be filled with anxiety, to be filled with strife, to be filled with anxiousness. And that's just without even thinking about it. That's even subconsciously just seeing what's going on. And so now more than ever, I believe God wants his people to be people who truly walk as people of peace. And like the scripture says, that we would be ones who are guided by peace, right? I don't know in my life, just being honest this morning, if I'm really always guided by peace. I think sometimes I'm guided by my emotions. I'm guided by my anxiety. I'm guided by my busyness. And right, all those things, we've got to work those out. But God wants his people to be people who are truly make decisions and go through life based on the fruit of peace in their life. Okay, that's what God has for you. That's what God has for me. You know, one of the names of God is Jehovah Shalom. Right? Shalom, right? It's Shalom, greetings. Jehovah Shalom, it means peace of God be with you, the God of peace. Okay, and if we look at when this name of God came about, it wasn't after a big victory. Right? It wasn't when everything was going super well in the nation of Israel. In fact, there was an encounter that a man of God named Gideon had with an angel. And it wasn't after he had, like, you know, won these victories. It was literally after everything he owned, his crops, his livestock, his farms, everything that contributed to his livelihood was literally taken from him. Like, everything that you have, gone. And that's when God came to him through an angel and said, I am the God of peace. I find it very interesting that in the biggest storms that we face, that's when God wants to reveal his peace to us in a whole new way. Okay? And I find this interesting that Gideon did not receive the peace of God until he had a face-to-face encounter with the God of peace. Right? He couldn't get it from his wife. He couldn't get it from his friend. He had to have an encounter with the God of peace that would change everything in his life. I want that encounter this morning. Amen? So peace, what is it? Okay, shalom. It means this, and I'm going to go through it quickly this morning. It means peace, tranquility, right? Just calmness. It means exempt from the rage, exempt from the habit of war. Okay, you might not be in a war, but how many of you know we all have habits in our life that cause the opposite of peace? Right? So exempt from the habits of anxiety, from the habits of things that war against peace. God, I want to be exempt from anxiety in my life. It means this, and you continue, right? And it means prosperity. Well, what do you mean prosperity? Because it's not talking about money, but it means prosperity in every area. Meaning, when you walk in peace, you will be prospering in every area of your life. How many of you want to prosper in every area, right? I want that prosperity of peace. The scripture I just read had a little phrase, and it said, "Will rule in your hearts." Listen, God's plan for our lives is that peace would rule in your hearts. Well, what does that mean to rule, right? If you look up that phrase in the Bible, it literally is an example of an umpire. Okay, we had a lot of sports games this last season, and so it talked about a judge or it talked about an umpire to rule in your heart. Well, what do people do when they have a disagreement? They go to a judge. Right, when we have a sporting event, and my son plays some lacrosse this week, and that's a miracle in itself. His team didn't win one game all year, and they played a tournament, and they're in the championship game this afternoon. Like, they didn't win one. They got killed every game, and then they decide they're going to, like, be good now. Right, but an umpire in the game rules the game and makes sure everyone is staying within the boundaries that the game has set forth. And so that phrase, rule in your hearts, means make a decision for the feuding parties or to make sure that you're playing by the rules. It says peace wants to be the thing in your life to settle disputes that are going on in your heart, to settle disputes that are going on in your life. Isn't that a great picture? Or I think it's a great picture. Anyone else think it's a great picture? I mean, come on. Peace wants to be the judge in your adversity. Peace wants to be the judge in the things that are causing you anxiety. Come on, that's good news this morning. So when we're talking about peace, we need to realize that it's supposed to guide us and to lead us down the path that God has for us. One of the problems I have with peace is I get a picture in my mind about peace. Listen, peace is not an abstract, absent-minded hippie that doesn't have any care of the world. It's just like, peace. Okay? Peace is not disconnected oblivion. It's not just turning your eye to any problem that exists in your life. That is not peace. That is called ignorance. That is called, get your head on your shoulders, or something like that. Okay, that is not peace, but peace is connected, engaged, and confidence in where God has you in your life. Okay, so that's what peace is. It's not an absence. It's not apathy. It's connected and it's engaged. So if we're going to be people of peace, I've got four or five things I want to talk about this morning. Because I believe that God wants you to walk in peace, but there's about five things that if you do these things and if you follow the Lord, I promise you that you will live a life filled of peace. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about, if you want to go down the avenue of peace, number one, I'll say get things right. Okay, get things right. Well, what do you mean by get things right? Okay, the Bible in Romans 14 says this. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God's kingdom is not what you do and what you don't do. It's not what you eat and what you don't eat, what you drink and what you don't drink. In fact, God's kingdom and what he's saying in the scripture, it has everything to do with what's going on from the inside out. So from the inside out, his kingdom is made up of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. And I don't find it just by coincidence that these are in that order, because I don't think they're just abstract. I believe that you cannot have joy without experiencing peace. No. In fact, you can't have peace without experiencing righteousness. Because if we understand what righteousness is not that you did everything right, and has everything to do with the state of your heart in relationship with God. So when you don't have anything right with God at the heart level, you will not experience peace. Not possible. Nope. Good luck trying. Okay? Because righteousness is the foundation for you walking in peace, and peace then translates into true happiness, or what you and I would call joy. That's it. Because righteousness, right relationship, produces peace. And here's the problem. We live in a culture, in a nation, in a society that everything is so performance, outward driven. Right? People say, as long as it looks good on the outside, we don't care what's on the inside, as long as the outside's not affected. But the kingdom of God is opposite, right? The kingdom of God says the outside will start to look good when the inside is right. And so the only way to get when I'm talking outside, I'm not talking like looks and like, oh, he's more good looking. No, that's called makeup if that's what you do, right? I'm talking about the fruit of your life, the outward things, the things that people see, feel, and respond to you when they're in relationship with you. All of those things are a reflection of the right relationship or righteousness that exists in your heart. Because here's the deal, the facade of things being right on the outside without things being right on the inside will only last so long. Right? And so I think many people, and again, I'm guilty at times, but many people are trying to get things of the kingdom, especially the peace and the joy, by doing temporal things, but they're missing the step of getting things right in their heart. So they're trying to, well, if I just do good things for my neighbor, if I just, serve God more, show up early to church, and, do all these things. Or if I just go on a vacation with my family and post pictures that look like we're happy, then we're good. But at the end of the day, there's things that aren't right at the heart level. How many of you, just myself, I am a terrible liar. And that's probably a good thing, right? I don't know if I want to be a good liar. But I am so awkward when it comes to, like, lying. Even if people are like, hey, play this joke with me on someone. I need you to go along with this joke. Don't ask me to do that. Can I just be honest with you? Because it will not work. Because I will just get awkward, and I'll be like, look, what's going on? I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm normal. They're like, why are you acting funny? I'm not. Growing up, and I pray this anointing over my kids. I pray that they have no ability to lie. Because I hated when I was walking in deception. or in a lie. I hated it. In fact, I remember when I was like 12 years old, I got a BB gun. That was cool. You know, I had a BB gun, 12, and did the safety thing. My dad made sure I was safe. Well, like within the first week of having it, I shot a window out of his car. Right? And I remember I was like, well, you know, it's one of a few cars that were in the driveway, and, you know, we have a gravel road, and so I probably could have been like, well, maybe a rock hit it or something. And literally, within that, like, first hour, I was so ridden with, like, what I knew was going to happen that I took my gun, marched into the house, put it in my dad's closet where I knew it was going to be for the next month and a half, just because I couldn't deal with the guilt of, like, well, maybe he's not going to notice it. You know, I just couldn't do it, right? Because, again, when things are not right, you can't be at peace. It's impossible. So we want to be people who walk in peace. We need to be people who get things right at the heart level. So what things in your life do you need to come to terms with? Right? What areas of your life are things out of order? The second thing, if we want to be people of peace, number one, we got to get things right. But here's probably the more difficult one. We need to set our mind on the right things. Okay, Isaiah 26 says this. It says, you, speaking of God, keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. They say the average, I'm just going to go average, so you can just say you're either above average or below average, and that's a personal judgment. They say the average brain has 55 thoughts a minute. That means right now, while I've been preaching, you all have had almost 4,000 thoughts going through your head since I've been up here. And I'm not going to do show of hands how many of them have been about what we're talking about, but like the thoughts in my head have been about, like, I wonder if my son's going to win a lacrosse game, right? I wonder what I'm going to have for lunch. I wonder why, you know, Pastor Justin's wearing tennis shoes to church. I don't know, right? But the fact is, we have thousands of opportunities every single day to be consumed at the thought level with thousands of different things, right? Set our mind on the right things. The Bible says that we're called to cast down every imagination and every thought that exalts itself against God's knowledge. Right? You and I are the only ones that can determine what we think about. We're it. Can't blame it on your husband. You can't blame it on your wife. You can try to blame it on your kids. You're just fooling yourself. You are the only one that can determine what you think about. And I believe this. We talk about growth, and we're all here this morning because we want to grow in our relationship with God. I hope that's why we're all here. But I believe one of the greatest keys to growth is hinged directly to our ability to take thoughts captive. You want to grow in your faith, then get really good at being able to take those thoughts that aren't of God that come and know where to put them real quick, right? If you want to grow, then get good at winning the battle up here because it's a battle. Because here's the deal. It's easy for me to get my mind set on the problem, right? It's easy for me to look at my wife and tell her the things of why our relationship isn't working real well right now. Right, it is a cheap gift to be able to be like, hey, here's what's wrong. It is very easy for me to focus on what's not working. Right, how about this? We cannot, in our mind level, we cannot be so focused on the enemy and what the devil's doing that we miss what God's doing. Right? Because I know a lot of people that are really good, like, you know, spiritual warfare people, but they miss being in God's presence, right? We can get really focused on, how about our own weakness or our own problems? Have you ever just been with someone when all they talk about is their own problems? Like, you know, if that's you, I love you. But we get so focused on the things that are in front of us that we miss focusing our mind on the things that God has for us to focus on. The right things. Okay, so what are the right things? A good question. Romans 8:6 says this. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, right? But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Listen, the right things are to have a mindset on the things of God and the things of the Spirit. Listen, I'm not talking about just like talking about the Bible 24/7. I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about the things that God would have you put your mind to, not just your problems and the enemy and what's not working in your life very well. Right? Focus on the things that God has in front of you. We sung about a storm today. In the middle of the storm, right? Singing a hallelujah. Right? Think about the story when it was, what was it? Peter, right? Walking on the water. When did he start to fail? When he got his eyes on his surroundings, when he got his eyes on the circumstance and took his eyes off of Jesus. Right? It's so true in our life today. So we've got to get our lives right. We've got to set our mind on the right things. The third thing, if you want peace in your life, then you need to make sure that your ways please the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you look in the Bible, your ways, when it talks about your ways, I'll read the scripture first here. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways, okay, that's where I got it. When a man's ways please the Lord, he even makes his enemies to be at peace with him. How many of you want your enemies to be at peace with you? Right, man, I want the enemies of my soul to be at peace with me. Right, well then make your ways. Well, what does ways mean? Ways speaks of your mode of operation, right? How you carry yourself, how you process difficulty, how you interact with other people, right? If I were to break it down, I would say when you leave a room, what is the impression that you just left? That is your ways, right? The way you handle yourself. Have you ever been in a situation where people are like, man, that guy is a real jerk, right? Well, his ways are maybe jerky at times. Something like that. Okay, so that is how we carry ourselves. It's how we interact. It's, if you're a business owner, it's your business ethics. Are you known as a shady businessman, or are you known of a guy who does things on the up and up? Right? It's your ways. It's when people say, oh man, oh Justin, oh he, you know, he's just an embellisher. You know, don't really believe what he says because he's always catching the fish that was just this big. Right? That's my ways. He's just, you know, oh, Justin, yeah, he's all right. Right? It's how you do life. It's how you treat people. It's your reputation with others. Right? That's our ways. How are you known? Right? So we want to walk in peace. We'll make sure that our ways please the Lord. I'm getting practical this morning. I'm not even going to apologize because I'm right there with everyone. Right, it's the way I do relationships. I talk to people and they say, man, I've really had a hard time making friends. I've never had good friends. Well, maybe you have a hard time opening up with people. Maybe every time a conflict comes, because in relationship, conflict will come. What do you do? Right? Well, every time conflict comes, I run. Okay. Well, you're probably not going to get very many close friends if you're always running from conflict. Okay, it's how we carry ourselves. Right? One of my favorite scriptures is in Proverbs 15. It says, he keeps his word even when it hurts. Listen, that scripture has everything to do with who you are. Is he a person of his word? Right? If you want to be people of peace, then walk down the path righteously and with integrity in everything that you do, not just attending church on Sunday. Right, it's how you carry yourself. Right, we want to be people whose ways please the Lord. The next one. Told you I was going to get real practical. This one I will apologize for because this isn't even fair or right that I'm bringing this one up. Resolve things before the sun goes down. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Well, let's just talk about marriage. We'll just keep it simple this morning. Well, I'm just more of a two-week processor. What does that mean? I'm a two-week processor. It means that, you know, in 2 weeks you've forgotten about it, and then, okay, if that works, it's not good, right? Resolve things before the sun. So right now, the sun is up. You've probably got 9 hours till the sun goes down, people. right? And so again, I don't think it's getting so ticky-tacky on that side, but it's pretty much just saying you want to live in peace and don't let unresolved conflict continue to nag you. Don't let unresolved things continue, because guess what? They will come back if you don't deal with them. I mean, we do it in our marriage all the time. You know, we don't deal with things, certain things, and then we have the big, like, come to Jesus meeting when we should be sleeping. And it's like, well, 6 months ago, Carrie, you did this. And she's like, why didn't you talk to me 6 months ago? Right? All the time. I told you I was getting practical. Right? But the Bible's very clear in Ephesians 4. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your sin, on your anger. And then 27 says, and don't give the devil an opportunity. So is not resolving conflict in a timely manner just giving an opportunity for the devil? Yeah. I love how, I think it's the Passion Translation, says this, because it's real. It says, don't let the passion of your emotions, now that's more how it usually is, right? The passion of your emotions. Don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Because, you know, sometimes your feelings can cause you to sin, right? They can lead you right to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for your revenge for not even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. Have you ever tried to recall a story like 2 years later? What happens? Right? Well, maybe it was 8 o'clock. Oh, no, it was 6 o'clock. Right? What happens in life when we don't deal with things? We get manipulated. Right? Well, maybe they were speaking in a louder tone than they... You know what? They were yelling at me 2 years ago, 8 years ago. You know, my dad, he actually threatened me to throw me out, and then he did for a second. No, he didn't. Right? But what happens? It gets bigger than it was. Right? So if we want to be people that walk in peace, then let's resolve conflict when it happens. You know, one of the things that we did right early on in our marriage, it was some great, incredible marriage counseling from Pastor Ed Marcy. And he said this, if you don't listen to anything that I've told you, and honestly, sorry, we didn't listen to all of it. Sorry, bud. He said, don't go to bed angry. And honestly, we haven't. Like, yeah, there's been nights where it's just like, it took everything within me to just lay on my side of the bed and like, I'm not angry. But we worked through things enough to where we could say we didn't give the enemy an opportunity to bring division into our marriage because we just settled that we weren't going to do it. We weren't going to even give him a place. An unresolved conflict is an easy foothold for the enemy. The next thing this morning, you want to walk in peace. And this one is, man, out of all of them, this is probably the hardest one for me. You need to focus on the peaceful things in life. Well, what do you mean? I've got 4 kids, all under the age of 12, and life is chaotic. There is no peaceful things. Well, yeah, there is. Right? Focus on the peaceful things. Entertain, that was a better word. So entertain the peaceful things. Psalms 8 says this, starting with verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Listen, when I look out and I see everything that God has done, how can I not walk in peace? How can I not say, God, my problems are so small compared to your vastness, compared to your amazing ability. I mean, even creation itself speaks of the glory of God. So what brings you peace? Go look at that mountain. Go hike that mountain. Go listen to the ocean, right? Not just to get away from it all, but to focus on the beauty of God. So what causes you peace? Do that. But what doesn't cause you peace? Disclaimer, do not turn your kids off. Okay, if your kids don't cause you peace, they're your kids. Figure it out. Okay, don't turn it off. If your wife's not causing you peace, don't be like, just listen to Pastor Justin here. I'm not listening to you. Please don't do that. Right? Don't. But turn off the things in your life that don't cause you peace. So if you thumbing through the community of Maple Valley Facebook page causes you to be more angry, then turn it off. If watching CNN, MSN, even Fox causes you to be more irritable with those around you, turn it off. Practical stuff here, people. Because here's the deal. The news is not out to bless you and edify you. Okay, I love aspects of the news. I love being informed. But you got to realize that their goal is to sell the story, not to edify your spirit. It's not the goal of the news. They're not even thinking about your spirit. Right? They just are thinking about the story. Again, I'm really, unfortunately, but man, they can take a story and they can give it any angle they want to give it. But I've been in interviews a few times, and each time I'm thinking, I don't remember saying that. Well, no, I did. I said that at the very end, and I said that at the beginning, and they put it together, and it looked like I said it in the same sentence, right? So they're not out to edify your spirit. So if it does not cause peace in your life, besides your wife and kids, that was the ones you got to really pray for peace. But if there's a relationship that is nagging, it doesn't cause peace, well, then get that relationship right. Right? Get it right. Meditate on the things that cause you peace. Because looking at creation will give you a glimpse of who our God is. So turn it off. Because here's the deal. Not everything we go through is a storm. There's a lot of bad news out there, but let me tell you something. There's a lot of good news out there. There's a lot of good news out there. Yes, at the end, I know things might get bad. I know that there's sin that is running rampant, but at the end of the day, we know the end of the book, Pastor Ryan. We know who comes back. We know whose church will be without a spot and wrinkle, right? We know the story. So it's not all bad out there. Because I believe that in a moment's notice, God can turn a situation that looks impossible and he can use it for his glory. So it's not all doom and gloom because God is on his throne. The last thing today in worship team, I think I'm going to have you stay. So focus on the things that cause you peace. So what causes you peace? And then last thing, and this one's really seems backwards. If you want to live a life that is filled with peace, then you might have to fight for peace. Because peace doesn't always come easy. You can't have peace without making a war on the things that are trying to rob you from peace. Here's the deal when we're talking about fight. Make sure you're fighting the right enemy. The Bible is very clear that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against rulers, principalities, the spiritual realm. Okay, we're not fighting against the guy next to you that disagrees with you. Okay, but you need to fight the right enemy, and you need to use the right weapons of our spiritual warfare, not weapons of our carnal lives. Okay, James 4 says, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. Listen, there are times where you have to fight the enemies of peace time and time and time and time again, and you keep fighting, and guess what will happen? The enemy that torments your soul will flee. But you might have to fight time and time and take it captive and do it again and again and again and again, and he will flee. Listen, if you deal with anxiety, if you deal with just struggling with turmoil and anxiety and anxiousness, you might have to fight that battle 100 times a day. But fight for peace. 1 Peter, another great, great scripture says, whoever wants to embrace true life, listen, I want to live true life and find beauty in each day. How many of you want that? Right? You must stop speaking evil, hurtful words and never deceive people in what you say. Always turn from what is wrong, cultivate what is good, and eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. Listen, the prize, the trophy, the thing that you are going for is peace. You may have to go chase it down. In fact, in the NSB, when it says pursue peace, it literally means run it down and tackle it. I added that part, right? But it literally means chase peace down. Listen, you may have to fight it hard, but chase peace down. Even in the midst of a crazy Dairy Queen dinner with two screaming toddlers, fight for peace. Fight for peace. Do not give in to the anxiety, because that's no way to live. Right? That's no way to live. Right? God wants us to be people of peace. And when we fight, the enemy will leave. How many of you want to be filled with God's peace? Come on. Would you just stand with me? I just want to pray over us. Because this message, again, I can pray, but here's the deal. This message means I'm going to have to take some thoughts captive. This message means, man, I might have to really go meditate on something that causes me peace. This message may mean, oh, man, I might need to get rid of some anger before the sun goes down. So Jesus, let's bow our head and close our eyes. God, I thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And Father, I thank you that your promise to us is that we can be people of peace in the midst of storms, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of losing everything. Father, we can be people who walk in peace. Father, I pray over all these things that we talked about today. Father, I pray, God, that you would just do what you need to do in people's hearts. Father, that you would bring conviction, that you would bring strength. Father, that you would show us where we need to fight. Father, that you would help us meditate on those things. Father, I pray, God, just against the tormentor of our soul that causes anxiety, that causes the opposite of peace in our lives, the stress. Father, we curse the enemies today of our soul. Father, we just declare your peace. Father, that we would be able to, with confidence, say, you are our peace. And we run to you today. Amen. Amen. Steve, you got something?
Yeah. So, real quick before we leave, how many appreciate this guy? We've been buddies since pretty much I was born, because I'm a couple years older than him. But we've known each other for a long time, and yesterday was a special day for this old guy. So I wanted to come up here and just say happy birthday to you, my man. And I think we should honor this guy. Let's sing him happy. First of all, can you want to check your watch, see where your heart rate's at right now?
It's going up, people.
So this guy just had a birthday yesterday. So make sure you come up and give him a big hug today. Say happy birthday. But let's all sing. And I'm going to leave so that you can stand up here by yourself. All right, here we go. We should put this up. Can we put this up on the screen, Mike? Okay, here we go. Ready? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, dear Justin. Happy birthday.
114 beats a minute, people. 114 beats a minute. Thanks. Thank you. Love you guys. Hey, let's go in God's peace today. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Steve. Thank you, guys. It's an honor. We'll see you next week. Let's go in his peace. You're released.